Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slightly Something Else. I'm Yates Crusher, and I'm joined by Marty Sleaver, as always.
Hello,
a day
everyone.
Late. Hopefully not a dollar short. Certainly not for today, the current goal. You're going to be playing Devil May Cry 110%, apparently.
Oh my god, it's so much Devil May Cry. Yeah, we're going to play that whole series. And apparently Devil May Cry 2 is the bad one, and people are excited for us to play the bad one.
Are you going to play DMC Devil May Cry?
Casey and I both like that one, so I think so.
Fair enough.
So Yahtzee, we finished Portal 2. And let me tell you, Portal 2, what a game!
Funny that, yeah.
It's so good!
Yeah, funny how like a game remembered as a classic is a good game.
It's a really good game, yeah. Maybe they just shouldn't make a third one. Maybe just keep it as two really good games and just never go back to it.
Well, it would be hard to go up from that peak, I suppose. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know where Portal 2 ends?
In space.
Yes, there you go. That
certainly does. And that brings us to our admittedly slightly vague topic. Mm-hmm. Starfield and how to do space in games. Now, I'm sure we both have very interesting opinions on Starfield, so much so that I get paid to provide it this Wednesday, and we'll try not to give too much of it today. Mm-hmm. But what was your opinion on...
The fancies will be able to see your review on Wednesday.
Yes, and hopefully most of the listeners are fancies. If not, what's the point?
There's a lot of fancies. I tried over the weekend. I was just going to play the game on Game Pass, but I decided to spend the extra $30 to get the deluxe edition upgrade so I could get started early, because I'm like, I'm going to get all sorts of opinions on it. And I've played about 5 hours, I want to say, and I realized that I don't think that Bethesda games are made for me. I think Bethesda games are a little too rich and a little too broad for my blood. And I was never able to get into Skyrim. I was never able to get into Fallout. And while I love the idea of space as a setting, and especially kind of like optimistic space, like the NASA punk that's been coined over the past couple decades, I don't think that the sort of the broad sweeping scope of Starfield is quite the kind of space I want to play in a game.
Well, I hate to say it, but have you considered that maybe this is one of those games that gets better later?
A lot of people have been saying that. A lot of people have been saying, you just wait until you get to New Game Plus. That is when stuff really starts popping off.
Yeah, if you have to wait till New Game Plus, then I don't buy that. That is not a good game.
Space is already... There's already so much in the concept of space. There's already so... It's already such a sort of vast playing field that the idea of having to go through it once before it really gets your hooks in you is something that seems a little... Seems a little much to me.
Well, this is certainly contrasting with the opinion Nick's been quoting on Twitter quite a lot recently. He can't get enough of that Starfield. He's officially one of Starfield and Friends.
Mm-hmm. I've heard the Garfield joke before, but I've never heard the Garfield and Friends joke.
As I said, I won't give away too much of my views because you have to pay for this week's Zero Punctuation for that. But I will say that I, as could probably be predicted, fall more on your side of things than Nick's. Mm-hmm. And I'm also of the view that it doesn't start well. And I think it actually holds up pretty badly if you compare it to Skyrim, because Skyrim has a great opening. It's mimetic even.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just about to get decapitated. You're moments away from getting executed with no apparent avenue of escape. And then a cocking great dragon comes down and smashes up the place. And everything's confused and you're on the run. In contrast, Starfield's opening, I found very quickly, was just boring me senseless. In terms of the opening to its plot.
Yeah. It's... Space is a hard thing to introduce people to, right? Because you can either sort of... If Starfield doesn't introduce you to the vastness of space, it very much railroads you for the opening 45, 90 minutes. Because if you just put someone in a ship and then say, all right, there's 1,000 planets, go nuts, I feel like a lot of players would just have choice paralysis. So they need to start you with something guided in an experience that is ultimately going to be very unguided, which is a strange dynamic there.
Yeah. So if I were to recommend a way to enjoy Starfield, just kick the main plot in the head. Just just come up with your own goal. What I did was that there was when you get to like the Society of Adventurers, who were all absolute pillocks, but well, that's a different topic altogether. Yep. There's a little computer that gives you little like surveying jobs. Like, mm-hmm. go to such and such system and find one planet that has such and such feature. So I did that, and I enjoyed that. I enjoyed going to the Tau City system and just going to each, systematically going to each planet and exploring them. And while I was doing that, I got embroiled in a side mission where I had to help a bunch of farmers fight off a pirate group. And I enjoyed that as well, because I was playing the game on my own terms then. But it's interesting you talk about Starfield being a big, expansive experience and how it brings out the vastness of space, because I feel like the vastness of space absolutely does not come across in Starfield, and I put that down to the fact that I basically fast travel absolutely everywhere in that game.
Yeah. Sometimes instead of space being like a physical space, it is just nodes. It's just a bunch of different nodes to you levels.
Because there's no point in like being in the cockpit unless you're having a fight with someone. Because you fast travel to get to a star system, you fast travel to get down to the ground, and then you fast travel back into orbit.
Yeah.
Occasionally, it forces you to watch a little pre-baked animation of going through warp space or whatever, and it seems very arbitrary when it actually requires you to do that. But I guess that's my problem. The space in Starfield just doesn't feel big. It feels big in something like Elite Dangerous because you actually have to put the travel time in.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's sort of a cottage industry of space games that really appeal to the sort of treating space as a process. And so you have your Star Citizens, whether that's real or not, but that game is very much about the process of having to take an elevator down to the bay and walk over to your ship and get into your ship. And
well, it's immersive. That is immersed. Yeah. What we're talking about there is immersion as opposed to the Starfield approach, which is also the Elder Scrolls approach, because you just fast travel everywhere in that as well.
Sure, sure. But you mentioned Elite Dangerous. You also have EVE Online, which we did our doc on. We have another doc coming.
That's like absolutely not about traversal, is it? EVE Online. That's about spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets and the sort of the dynamic stories that could come from throwing tens of thousands of players into a single.
Yeah, that's the meta game though.
It's interesting when you go back, like. Was space the first popular genre of video game? Like, so many of the arcade classics were space-themed. You had Galaga, Space Invaders, Asteroids, Defender, Missile Command. I think Tempest was space.
That's science fiction-themed. If you want to talk about, like, a space game, then the first one of those would probably be Elite on the Spectrum/BBC Micro.
I would say all those games I mentioned were space games.
But did they actually... Well, this is where we get into a semantic argument, I suppose. What do you mean by a space game? Just a game that's set in space, where you're a spaceship and the enemies are, like, aliens? Or a game that actually makes the most of the vastness and the explorative appeal of space?
So, that's a good point. I feel like space can be used either... Space can either be the main course of your dish, like in something like Elite Dangerous or EVE Online, or space can be flavoring in another dish with your Dead Spaces, a game like Xenosaga, Among Us. Like, space is kind of not a backdrop, but space, like, it is a blank game that happens to be in space.
It's like space is like the ocean. It's everyone knows what it is, and setting your game in it adds this like whole extra set of rules. Like in Dead Space, it's very effective horror, but partially because of the total isolation of being in a spaceship. Uh-huh. Even if you get out, you're going to die.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can't just run away.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's space as a setting. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with the subject of Starfield, I was thinking more in terms of space as a physical concept to explore in a game. And I think
as a final frontier, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And we were talking about Elite, which is all about traversing across space to get to things. I feel like the trouble with space as a flight simulator setting is that there's literally nothing in it. So all you can do is just freely move in every imaginable direction.
Yeah.
And when you have that, it's sort of lacking in interesting traversal mechanics. I've been writing about traversal because I'm going to do an extra punctuation on it. Having played like Bomb Rush Cyberpunk and being reminded how much I enjoy games that just make the simple act of A to getting from A to B an interesting challenge, space exploration usually just comes down to point to a dot and then hold down the forward button.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there was a long time, like, space in other mediums, like, I don't know, was it not until Star Wars came along that made, like, space battles interesting and space traversal?
Well,
like, Star Trek space battles were really interesting.
Well, before it was Star Wars, it was 2001 A Space Odyssey, and that absolutely is not about space battles. But, of course, when you talk about space battling in Star Wars, you're really just talking about dogfighting.
Dogfighting, yeah, and a lot of times it'll be like, oh, we'll have it over this planet, so you have a frame of reference of up and down and everything, and we're really not going to really treat the idea of, like, this is 360 degrees, there is no ground and ceiling, I am lost, and I don't know what I'm doing. Which is how I feel a lot of times when I'm doing 360-degree space battles in games. I'm like, I am so turned around, I do not know what's happening.
Yeah, see, I like space exploration. I like playing Elite just because it's a nice, like, chill-out experience. Mm-hmm. And the dogfighting, I can take or leave, because most of it just comes down to swing around until you can get the dot into your sights, and then hold down fire while it's in your sights.
Yeah.
Never been a big fan of flight simulators for that, either.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, is, like, I feel like, for me personally, the more arcadey it is, the more entertaining it is when your ship doesn't move like a ship, when it moves like, you know, in, like, Star Wars Rogue Squadron or Rogue Leader, like, those games, like, you're dogfighting, but, like, it doesn't feel like you're trying to maneuver, like, a giant, several-ton piece of metal.
Well, how could it? Because you're in hard vacuum. There is absolutely nothing that could be acting upon your vehicle to make it act in any kind of unpredictable way.
Yeah, yeah. Which I guess that's hard to sort of relay that tactile information. Yeah.
And even if you, like, surround yourself in hazards like asteroids or missiles or whatever, the question, how will we escape from this, is answered by saying, we'll just move out of the way and go to another point in the infinite space we can occupy at this moment.
Yeah. So, like, what is it about space that has been, like, such a go-to genre for games? Like, if you look at some of the, like, most beloved games of the century, you have a handful of them that I would say are space games. You have your Mass Effects, you have FTL, Outer Wilds.
Well, that all comes
across all spectrums.
I think the interesting, like, connecting point between all those games is that it's not so much the space as the things you find in space if you keep exploring the space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the interesting part of Mass Effect, that's another game that just fast travels directly to the planets, incidentally.
Yeah.
Is the planets, the sheer variety of alien cultures and things you can see. It's why I enjoyed Remnant from the Ashes, because you're not just on one world, you're on multiple worlds. They could have had, like, a theme where you have to travel on a spaceship to get to them all. They just couldn't be asked.
Yeah.
Instead,
they realized the fun was seeing the new thing, not, like, how do they all coalesce and come together.
Yeah, so basically it just comes down to you can do whatever you want in terms of setting in space. Mm-hmm. It's a land of infinite opportunity. I mean, Starfield has planets where it's basically cyberpunk, and planets where it's basically Fallout, and planets where it's basically Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all kinds of different settings in space because you can just go to a different planet.
Yeah. And, I mean, the theme, it does seem like, at least, like, American sci-fi leans so heavily into space as the Western. Like, that sort of, you know, Firefly and even Starfield has that kind of motif.
You say American, but, you know, one of the tent poles of that particular genre is, of course, Cowboy Bebop.
That's true, yeah. That's not American at all, yeah.
But that's just
space like the West.
I wouldn't say it's exclusively an American thing, because that's a natural place to go, because both the Wild West and space are dealing with the subject of frontiers.
Mm-hmm.
The final frontier, as certain space captains have said. In the Wild West, it was all about, we don't really know what's going on in all this empty space that surrounds our little villages and one-horse towns. And so we invent all these tales of adventure that are happening in the midst of it.
Yeah.
And same thing with space. We don't really know what's going on the other side of all that space. So let's make it something fun.
But I feel like the problem is if you... if you try to portray space realistically, then that's hard. Like, you're gonna be spending a long time doing nothing. It's like if you're taking a cross country road trip and then you get to like Nebraska and you're like, oh, this is a very long state without a lot of exciting things to see.
Well, that's sort of exposed by No Man's Sky and the procedural wilderness element of Starfield, which is very No Man's Sky reminiscent. Turns out most planets just sort of kind of get kind of samey. Mm-hmm. It's all just rocky landscapes and plants.
Yeah.
And a small variety of alien monsters.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, and I think the space game that has kind of captured the feeling of space exploration at the same level. A lot of movies, I think, have captured it really well. You know, you mentioned 2001, we can talk about Star Wars, Ad Astra, Interstellar, Gravity, Solaris, First Man, a bunch of movies. Outer Wilds, because Outer Wilds is like it's a pocket galaxy. It is a small, there's only a handful of planets. You literally can't be flying out for too long because every 15 minutes or so, the sun's going to explode and you're going to have to restart. And but it does capture the feeling of taking off from a planet, charting a course, and then like going through the atmosphere and landing on the planet and being like, well, what the hell is this place going to be? And you're like, oh, it's a giant ocean with just tornadoes everywhere.
What you want is to recreate the Star Trek thing where they just go down on a planet and some kind of adventure happens. Of course, what that comes down to is that in Star Trek, it's not so much exploring wild planets as it is like the machinations of space empires and civilizations and unknown intelligences. And that's basically all Star Trek is, unknown life and unknown civilizations. And our interactions with same in a sort of weird procedural kind of way.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And that's one thing you can never get, you'll never be able to procedurally generate, really. Like having a procedurally generated universe full of different civilizations with different cultures and approaches to things. That's all social. Yeah,
you could do the... you can have like, oh, here's a bunch of randomly generated creature like in No Man's Sky or something weird out of Spore, but like it's not going to have a history to it.
Yeah, who cares? It's just something that wiggles around and tries to bite my bum while I'm trying to mine platinum.
Not my bum. Mining platinum, speaking of that, that reminded me of one of your favorite games in the last couple of years with the terrible name Hard Space Shipbreaker.
I never know when you're going to be sarcastic when you say one of my favorite games in recent years.
That sounded like I could have easily zigzagged into Balan, but I didn't Balan. I just remember Hardspace is a game I have not played, but I know you liked quite a bit.
Yeah, and what I liked about it is that it is kind of boring and zone out.
Mm-hmm.
And the best kind of boring zone out games actually have a lot of interesting stuff hidden in the cracks. They're just sort of stumble into as you're going about your boring business.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, it's got quite an interesting plot, even though it's delivered a little clumsily. And as you're like going through the routine of soaring up spaceships, you find like the little pockets of what you can imagine life on this spaceship was like. You find like a little seating area and tables and little like lost crisp packets, and thinking, what life did this spaceship have before it came to this soulless, cutting everything up yard to be cut up by me and my minimum wage friends?
Yeah. And you didn't, it also, the stuff came to you. You didn't have to go out searching for it, right?
No.
Like, it wasn't you spending an hour being like, I hope I find something fun out here.
No, you're just like a low-level worker at a cutting yard, and the higher-ups at the cutting yard say, hey, here's some spaceships we found. Cut them up, please. Yeah. And you cut them up. It's like being a cashier at a supermarket and watching like the specific groceries that a single customer has, and like making ideas up in your head about what this person is like based on what groceries they're buying.
Man, I worked this summer. One of my first jobs was as a cashier at a grocery store, and I never did that, and I now regret it because I feel like that would have made the shift go a lot faster.
I feel like I would have done that. I did like a shitty job once transcribing old records from the Queensland Department of Births, Marriages and Deaths, and it was all like dry data, but sure. To pass the time, you'd sort of try to imagine the situation in your head, because this was rural Queensland, so you'd find like a marriage certificate where the marriage was between like a 17-year-old girl and a 54-year-old man.
Oh no!
And they already
Queensland,
had
what are we doing?
And they already had three children.
Oh, and, no. And Queensland.
Yeah, you just yeah. There's a lot of bumfuck territory. Yeah. Once you get away from the coast in Queensland.
See, an easy way to make shifts go by. Shifts go by fast.
And I guess that sort of like work-a-day dad game is something I also got from Elite Dangerous, because the essence of that game is, depending on what path you take, is delivering crates across space, which is something I'm very deliberately evoking in my game that I'm working on, Star Trek Vagabond.
Yeah. Is there something in... I'll actually say that question, because someone asks about your game in a super chat.
Get to that later then.
We'll get to that there. What about FTL? Were you a big FTL fan?
Oh, yeah. I got something like 1,000 hours of FTL clocked up.
Holy shit. That's a lot of hours.
Yeah, though, having said that, I haven't played it in years. Because there's always new things to play, I suppose. I guess I had one of my temporary fixations on it that I had with like Persona 4 at one point.
So what did that do with the concept of space that sort of hooked you like that? Or was it less about the concept of space and more of just the general loop itself?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like if that game were set on the water. Would that?
Yeah, that's interesting.
I would have liked it even more, right?
I guess I liked the battling system just because the actual traversal and movement factor isn't completely taken out, and it's just about where you aim your weapons and where you've positioned the important parts of your ship. Because, of course, all that's between the two ships is vacuum, as I've talked about, and I suppose that appealed to me a lot more than dogfighting in space did, because, as I was saying, just lining up stuff in your crosshairs and shooting was less interesting to me than FTL's concept of having to be strategic about which part of the ship you're shooting at, and that sort of thing.
So it kept it simpler? Is that what sort of... It did space simple? Is that what kept it?
I guess it was just more interesting to me. Like, the nuts and bolts of what to aim your weapons at on the enemy's ship was more interesting to me than having to get...
Gotcha.
Having to move around space, moving around empty space to get each other in a position to shoot.
Yeah, yeah. It was more... it was more about the, like, genuine decision-making than the kind of the moment-to-moment reflexes.
And having to fly around the vacuum of space, which, as I've established, is a vacuum and not that interesting to fly around in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would... it's funny, because I don't get the same... Again, with the caveat that, you know, it sounds like the more you put into Starfield, the more you get from it. I just don't know if I'm going to get over the hump of putting enough in. But I don't get those same kind of feelings of awe and wonder and spectacle that I do, you know, riding my horse through Red Dead 2 or jumping off a Sky Island in Tears of the Kingdom. Or,
and ironically, you know like the scenery is better in a game like Red Dead Redemption.
I mean, space, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, space can be breathtaking a few times, but if it's all you look at, you get bored of it pretty quick. Just vast, incomprehensible things a long way away where you can't do anything about it.
Well, especially if you try to... Like, Starfield feels like it tries to portray somewhat realistic space. And again, I think that might change the deeper and further you get into it, which would make sense.
Yeah, you can see... They're definitely trying to evoke the air of like real life space travel with the interiors of the spaceships and space suits everyone wears.
But it's one of those, like, I almost want to land on a planet and have it like almost not be able to comprehend what is going on in this place, you know, have it be so alien, so different that I can't just be like, well, that kind of looks like Mars or that kind of looks like the moon, but a slightly different color.
You want your Outer Wilds again, don't you?
I want my Outer Wilds, and I almost want the planets to be like, I don't know, reductive, I guess, is like themed like an old platformer level where I'm like, oh no, this is the ghost planet, or like, oh no, this is the desert planet.
Yeah, when you talk about that, I think of playing Remnant 2 and going to the purple planet, which is probably one of the worst parts of the game. But when you first go out into the desert, I look into the sky and there's just these vast, impossible, cosmic ballet of elements. And that really gives the impression of this universe has gone through some shit.
Yeah, I am not in somewhere familiar.
Yeah. Like, we're probably in, like a dying universe, as most Souls-like settings seem to be. But this universe has definitely seen some interesting shit in its lifetime.
Yeah.
That we're now sweeping up at the end and putting the chairs on the tables.
And I know another game that did that for me, and I know I think I liked it more than you did, was the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, or game from a few years ago.
Interesting Freudian slip there.
Yeah. Might as well have been a movie. Yeah. At the very least, the planets you go to felt very different. Like, I still remember the weird purple planet.
Spectacular Skybox is pretty much all the only string to the Ghost Train Ride's bow, really, isn't it?
It's a good string, though.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a good string. It's memorable.
If you like that sort of thing.
If I remember it, doesn't that work? I do like that sort of thing. Game's great. I think that game has aged very well.
You know what I find interesting is to go to one of those YouTube channels like Boundary Break that go to the furthest reaches of the skyboxes and just see at what point the detail starts to break down.
Yeah.
Because most of them in modern games look really good in like all the places you're supposed to be. But then if you like go to the furthest reaches like the Dark Souls sandbox, the skybox, and find like lots of all the little like houses made of breakfast cereal cardboard.
Breaking boundaries in games makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of scares me a little bit. Like, it's like I'm not supposed to be here.
It's like
you've ever gotten, like, I once got on my way to the bathroom, got kind of locked in the back rooms of a convention center, and I was like trying to find my way back to the core convention center, and I just fucking couldn't. And it was like very weird. It was like a deep feeling inside of me of like, I am not supposed to be here.
You don't like liminal spaces.
I think that's what it is. So is that like, is boundary breaking a liminal space that it just makes me uncomfortable?
Maybe. I think it might be more to do with the fact that it's sort of undermining a mystery, sort of exposing the workings and the nuts and bolts of something that might have initially filled you with awe, like a skybox.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, don't,
I mean, liminal spaces in video games, when we bring that up, I always think of, like... back in the day in like the 90s, I'd like join a Team Fortress Classic server and it would just turn out there would be nobody in it. So you're just stuck in this multiplayer map all by yourself. I've seen like indie horror games sort of based on that premise. The sort of air of the liminal space that comes from being in a multiplayer map by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels something wrong. Yeah. Yeah, you get that same feeling like if you've ever lived in a big city and you've gone out at night in like a day when it's like it's that time of night where like everyone's already gone home but no one's gotten up yet to go out and you're like
or if you go out and
weird
like
at 4 a.m.
if you go out in my suburban neighborhood really really early in the morning to walk the dog or something and there's just no life
there's no lights, there's no sound, there's no cars, there's no dogs barking,
or going to a school, going to your school in the evening. Because because you forgot something and need to pick it up.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like it. I feel like Silent Hill 2, or Silent Hill games in general, do that sort of liminal space thing well of like, I'm turning a corner and I should see X, but instead I see a very long hallway. That's why.
Absolutely, yes.
Like, I mean, House of Leaves.
Silent Hill makes a lot of hay out of the liminal space that can just be like a hospital corridor or an apartment building corridor or a hotel where no one else appears to be staying.
Ooh. Liminal space over regular space.
Very, very liminal spacey, Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Well, since we're evidently not talking about space anymore, shall we go to Super Chats?
Sure. Yeah, I have a couple more games I want to bring up, but some folks are going to get us there in the chats, I see. So that's good.
Thank goodness we got through this without referencing pronouns in Starfield.
We did it, yeah.
I mean, God knows why.
This week's official stupid fucking drama of the week.
God knows why the stupid fucking drama llamas have focused on Starfield for this. I have played many games that ask you your pronouns. Mm-hmm. I remember like when Saints Row 2 had a slider for your gender.
Yeah.
Rather than a binary one or the other.
The internet's the worst.
Alex James, welcome to Early Access.
Welcome, Alex.
No comment? Apparently not.
Yeah, I didn't see one from Alex.
And then Roly Cannoli shows Alex how it's done by actually giving us a comment in $5. And says, did you find any classic Bethesda bugs in your playthrough? And if so, which was the most egregious? I'm going to pass on this because I've got a funny anecdote that is referenced in my zero punctuation this week.
Okay. Did you play, can you say if you played on, I assume PC, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like from what
Nick was saying,
it was less buggy on console.
I don't know what the fuck he was playing.
Yeah. Well, on console.
Oh, on console, yeah.
On console, on Xbox,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, I ran into quite a few bugs and glitches.
Yeah.
Here and there. A lot of it was stuff like characters continuing to be in a fight while you're trying to have a conversation with them. And the camera's still focused on them while they're, like, running around the room.
What's your take on bugs like that? Like, Bethesda jank has kind of been, like, a thing for a very long time, right? Like, what do you feel when you come to a bug? Does it depend on
Bethesda jank usually breaks immersion. I was playing Skyrim and some old lady just walked into the ground. Descended into the ground like there were stairs there, and I don't think anyone ever saw her again.
Yeah.
But that's
sent to hell. She's in her own
sort of thing.
Space,
the effect of that was limited by the fact that the game is so unimmersive anyway, because the characters all like look, and they always look good at a distance, Bethesda games. But once you get close and look at the way the characters act and the way they talk and the way they keep up the fixed eye contact BioWare face while you're talking to them,
really strong eye contact.
Yeah. It just, you never really feel immersed anyway.
Yeah. Really strong eye contact.
And the bugs are rarely like game breaking or like, soft locking. So, you know, they're fun to talk about.
Yeah.
And when you
I
see
think,
them, it's
I
like, it's like
is...
a fun little, it's like, you know, seeing a deer in your front yard. Oh, a little glitch in my everyday life. That
you don't
make an interesting
here.
Story.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't like make me have to redo a bunch or like completely bork my progress. I'm fine. Give me a nice little goof.
Which can happen. I'm sure some people have had like soft locking bugs in Starfield.
Oh, absolutely. And those I do not laugh at.
Hmm. Justin Stoll gives $5 and says it's pretty amazing that Starfield couldn't do seamless travel compared to games almost decades old.
Do you wanna do seamless travel? Like, do you wanna be flying for 7 hours to a
well,
planet?
obviously, we'd want some kind of fast travel, as in, you know, hyperspace system like Elite Dangerous, where you're traveling vast distances, but you know, as if it's like a 10-minute commute to the shops.
So it's not just instead of a loading screen, I want it to be like
It's not instantaneous travel; it's just hyper accelerated standard travel. So you see the whole way there. You're just moving at faster than light speeds because of science fiction shit.
But didn't I feel like a very different game, but the God of War, the new God of Wars, the two of them, they do their whole, there's no cuts in this game, there's no loading screens, and they mask it by having you go to the Yggdrasil and then you walk around the tree and then you go into another door and you're somewhere else. And I feel like a lot of people were like, should we have just had loading screens? Like, should we have just had me choosing a place and saying, hey, I want to go there? Because like, it's a cute trick, but at a certain point you're like, I want to do the thing and I don't want to have to kind of go through the dog and pony show.
But immersion, man.
I don't know. Am I the only person, Chad? Am I weird that when I'm playing a game, I've never once in my wildest dreams am I like, I am in this, I am immersed, I'm in this game.
Well, back in the day when I used to play World of Warcraft, to fast travel to places, you couldn't usually do it instantly. You had to get on the back of like a flying bat or whatever, or a griffin,
sure,
and fly across the land to get to the place you want to be. And by doing that, it gave you a real palpable sense of the bigness of the world.
Yeah.
Which you don't get from just instantaneous fast travel like in Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Also, chat seems at a disagreement of whether I'm weird for not getting immersed in games.
I guess it
depends. I like the games and I get like invested in them, but I'm never like, ah, it is me, Kratos, the God of War.
Well, I guess it comes down to how interesting the traversal is. I mean, in something like Spider-Man, you're happy to traverse your way from point A to point B because it's just fun to web swing across the city.
Yeah. That's to me, if a game has fast travel and I'm choosing not to do it, then that game has good traversal. Or that game has interesting shit between point A and point B.
That's what traversal is.
Yeah.
Have we done with that topic? Should we move on?
Oh, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're at Pattern Pike now?
Yes, Pattern Pike, $5 to say, do you think space exploration would be more enjoyable if the space travel involved more real-world mechanics, like having to think about gravity?
That could be very different.
I don't think it would be that interesting on, like, a planetary scale.
Yeah.
I mean, having to worry about the gravitational pull of something the size of a planet is something that, you know, the greatest heads of NASA struggle with. It's not really something I want to have to worry about in my fun times.
Yeah, and there are games that, like, have a part of that as their core mechanic. Like, Kerbal is about launching the ship, right?
Yeah, I was certainly thinking about Kerbal Space Program, as I said all that.
Yeah. And, like, even when we were playing Pulsar, like, we had to each be doing our own little jobs and being like, oh, what is this? Is this meter good? And, like, what is my reading and communicating with each other, which is, like, a very specific thing. But I don't know if any of those would really fit in Starfield or make Starfield better.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it has to be fun and not, like, a job, which is why people like playing Stardew Valley more than they like playing Farming Simulator.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the, like, you have to land somewhere on the, is it, like, fun to realism spectrum. And games can be on different places, like the Euro Truck Simulator is on the simulator, you know, the realism end of it, and that has its audience, but, you know, so does...
Yeah, I mean, like, it depends what you want. If you want immersion, then you want more realism, but if you want engagement, you might want more fun.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess those are different. Yeah, I like engagement.
There you go. Well, people can be engaged by an immersive experience, so, you know, this is semantics.
True. Yeah.
Anyway, Tommy Salty, our resident music man, gives 10 PLNs and says, Marty gets Mass Effect streams when?
Someday I'll play Mass Effect. And I will have so many thoughts on Shepard and all the aliens you can kiss.
I wonder...
That day is not now.
Yeah, I guess these are all like... These sort of such and such play such and such are all sort of things for people's blind spots, like the one really popular thing you never got around to playing.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to think of what it would be in my case.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you've been, I feel like by virtue of the job, you've been playing pretty much all the biggest releases of every year, right?
I mean, for me, like, it would be movies. Like, there are lots of very, very popular movies I have never seen.
Yeah, I'm sure there's things that are considered like part of the canon.
Yeah, there might be an interesting series in forcing me to watch like all the Marvel movies and getting my opinion at the end of it.
Can we give you better? Can we give you something better?
Well, I've never watched E.T.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should watch E.T. That's really good.
Humane Shield gives $1.99 and says, how does your sci-if game use space? Meaning sci-fi, I assume.
I like sci-if, though. That's like sci-fi with mysteries.
Well, for Starstruck Vagabond, I'm very deliberately doing the Stardew Valley thing, where it's like the simple cartoon version of the workaday grind. Mm-hmm. And the primary gameplay loop, of course, is something that's important to me, and I wanted to make traversing through space at least fun and engaging in a certain way. So you have to like travel across space to get to the planets, but you do have to do a little mini game where you dodge asteroids and stuff that, as they come towards you. And it's basically just a fidget toy to keep you occupied while you listen to your podcast.
Is it like take place in our solar system, or is it like made up planets?
It's a made up entire galaxy of planets.
What goes into making up a planet? When you start to make up a planet,
quite
you start?
A Well, I start with a random name generator.
Okay.
And I have a bunch of like random continental patterns.
Okay.
And then I randomize where all the rocks and plants are on the surface.
But you don't think of them like a themed level? Like, I'm going to do my fire planet now.
Not really. They all got random colors as well.
Gotcha. I just find it interesting how people make, even like D&D maps. What kind of people come up with this?
Usually they just base it on some specific school of architecture or history that they like.
I've seen people dump shit onto like paper and then sort of use that to trace certain things, and like depending on how the stuff lands, like this is a mountain range, this is a lake.
Yeah. Like you can like design a continental map just by like spilling coffee on a piece of paper. Or what's it people do? They just like spill pasta on a piece of paper and then draw around the clumps of pasta, and that's your island map.
Yeah.
That's your archipelago.
What would be the best pasta for an island map?
Well,
like doing spaghetti would be terrible.
Well, no,
like elbow macaroni.
Yes. I guess, but there might be some very like repetitive fjords developing. Yeah. I guess you'd want to use rice or something. Something with a small enough pieces that you create all kinds of different shapes.
Yeah, because someone would end up looking at your map and be like, "That just looks like rigatoni. What is going on here?"
Did you use lasagna sheets? Jonathan Lee gives $4.99 and says, would love to hear your thoughts, stroke philosophies on split screen. What types of games benefit most from it, and which games do you wish had it? Thanks. Well, that's exclusively a local multiplayer thing, isn't it? Split screen?
Well, not exclusively, because didn't...
Oh, yeah, fucking...
It Takes Two.
Yes, and A Way Out.
And A Way Out, yeah.
Both had split screen, even if it was just playing online multiplayer. I think that was a stylistic choice, though.
Sure, I think it was like they want you to be able to see what the other person's doing at all times and vice versa.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of fond memories of split screen growing up, with like from the N64 to the Dreamcast, the GameCube and stuff. And then obviously like once I was no longer living with a bunch of my friends in college and online kind of took over, then that kind of went away, but I still hold split screen and local multiplayer in very high regard.
Yeah, I guess that comes down to your upbringing, because I didn't do much of it at all. I basically just locked myself in my room playing Monkey Island all day.
Yeah, no split screen in Monkey Island.
I don't have any particular nostalgic view of it, and it just feels like you could be enjoying this by yourself, and then the action could fill the whole screen, and everything wouldn't seem so like compressed.
Yeah, but there was the joy of playing Mario Kart against other people or Golden.
Do you prefer side by side or top and bottom?
Side by side. Well, I guess with modern TVs, I would prefer side by side. Like with an old CRT, I think top and bottom works.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like it's you know, some people are still there's indie games that are still carrying the torch. Like we just wrote that story up about how the Quake 2 remaster has 8 player split screen, which is
fuck knows why.
Absurd. It is more of just a goof. But then even like the Mario Wonder, the upcoming Mario game has a bunch of local multiplayer. I feel like Nintendo is still kind of carrying the torch with you know, Mario Kart and Mario Party and all that. Lego games, George Lucas, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of modern Mario focuses on local multiplayer. They very rarely use split screen, though. They'll usually just like zoom the camera out.
Yeah. That's how that there's that Disney.
What they tend to do in games like New Super, what is it like New Super Mario 3D World?
Yeah,
is that they'll just arbitrarily pick one of the players to focus on, usually the one that's trying to push forward, and everyone who's not pushing forward is like sort of pushed off screen, and then they get put into a bubble.
Yeah. Lego, I like the way the Lego games did it, to where if you were close enough, it would be you'd be sharing the screen, and then if you start splitting up, it would just kind of seamlessly split the screen. And so like if one player was running to the left and the other player was running to the right, then the screen would split, and that's your things would be, so you're not tethered to the other person. But then if you get close enough, or you're in like a single boss room or a puzzle room, then it's just a shared screen.
Yeah, the Lego Lego games do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eamon Bode gives $5 and says, just give it another 10 years and Dwarf Fortress will have their amazing history generation, but for space, with dwarves and alcoholism.
Yeah.
Was it ever that big, Dwarf Fortress? Was it ever bigger than a niche?
I mean, didn't it come out? Like, in terms of, like...
No way, man. People have been, talking up Dwarf Fortress for decades, haven't they?
No, I think it, just released out of early access. Am I insane? Yeah, December 6th, 2022.
Yeah, recently there's been, an official Steam release, but it's been, an open source thing for a long time.
Yeah. But, yeah, I know that's a game that, it's, I think, just the two dudes, and, they've gotten just filthy rich off of it.
Yeah, I group it with EVE Online in the world of where it's all about the meta game and the relationships certain obsessive people have with it.
Yeah, and it feels like a part-time job to jump in.
Yeah,
but I love hearing stories about it.
Moving on. Chris S., member for 13 months in early access, says RPGs are social. The true space vibe is loneliness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's certainly what Dead Space brings out.
Yeah. Yeah, your Dead Space, your Alien Isolation, sort of.
Yeah, the clues are in the title there. That's how those games are going to be about loneliness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but then again, space vibes, Destiny. Do you count Destiny as a... Yeah, Destiny's a space game, right? You're hopping about planets.
I guess. Yeah, yeah, you go to different planets. Planet to planet. Most of the action's on the ground, but yeah, you go to different planets.
But yeah, Destiny's a shared experience. But yeah, I mean, a lot of those, pretty much all, Star Wars aside, pretty much all of my favorite space movies are sad, lonely person in space.
Ooh, have you ever seen John Carpenter's Dark Star?
I have.
I really like that film.
Yeah. That's one of his most underrated and underappreciated movies.
It was Everyone's his first film, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, if not his, maybe he did a really small thing beforehand, but I think that was his first actual... Capital movie. Yeah.
Anyway, Zanwild 1 gives $5 Canadian and says, how about building planets with civilizations like an expanded Shadow of Mordor Nemesis system? Each of those civilizations would have to be represented by individuals from that civilization.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, is a bit Star Trek-y when you think about it. The old, every single member of this civilization has the exact same personality type thing.
Sure. Some kind of a hive mind. Yeah, it's also tough just being like, what if they use the Nemesis system for this? Because even Warner Brothers, who's has the copyright and trademark on it, hasn't used it in 6 years. You know,
I feel like you're just talking about
the Wonder Woman game, but
I feel like all you're really saying here is, why not just procedurally generate civilizations on planets?
Yeah,
and
I think it's procedurally generated, but then also it reacts and evolves based on your...
How do you procedurally generate an entire culture? You just sort of run a whole load of systems before the game starts, simulating history and changing the civilization subtly as you go.
Yeah, I guess.
Just we randomly rolled that 500 years ago there was a civil war, so now it's a communist dictatorship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost simulating a giant game of Civ beforehand and then having a game be set and then just hitting pause at a certain point and being all right, the game is set in an alternate universe where this is what history was like.
Suddenly I'm intrigued by that as a programming challenge. Just procedurally generate a society of people, Rim Space or whatever that game's called.
Rimworld,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Just proceed to generate the actions of a bunch of people in a society for a while, and then after 500 simulated years, then throw the player in and see how it's turned out.
Yeah. Interesting.
Something to think about. John Brooks gives £50, a big old deep red super chat, no less.
Oh my God, John Brooks.
And says, surprise week off means I catch one live and not waiting for the podcast. Just want to thank you all for the listening on shift. These EP collections, backlog of this and breakout have kept me going all year. Cheers, lads. Well,
John, thank you
so
much.
If you didn't suspect John Brooks was English from the pound thing, the cheers, lads thing at the end certainly underlined that fact.
I don't get called a lad enough, and so I appreciate it.
Thank you, John Brooks. Baradis gives $5 and says, how about a space game without fast travel or FTL, but with time dilation? The universe ages decades or centuries while you age months or years. Well, it'd be interesting to see how you'd execute that.
Yeah.
So you'd like, you'd have NPCs that just, after you've, every time you have to travel from one star system to the next, that they age 10 years. And then after, like,
I'm assuming you've never seen Interstellar, the Christopher Nolan movie.
I have seen that, actually.
Okay. So weirdly, that has that water planet they go down to, and yeah, because of gravity or black hole or some shit like that, by the time they get back up to their ship, like 2 hours later, it's been 10 years for the guy who's up there.
Maybe you could do a sort of Rogue Legacy thing where you keep having to deal with like the next generation of characters.
Yeah.
Because people keep dying.
And it's like you have to choose who goes down to the planet and who stays on the ship.
Yeah.
And like, some people are more suited to spend 10 years on a ship, and other people are more suited to.
Well, now we're talking about making it a sort of space station management game. Like, what was it called? That game where you manage a space station? It's probably a few. What am I thinking of? It's like sort of the theme hospital thing, but where you're on a space station and you micromanage all the rooms and all the NPCs just milling around and try to make sure all their needs are met. All their needs are met. Ooh, spoonerism. Oh,
needs are met.
Unintended spoonerism. Everyone fire the unintended spoonerism alarm.
Homeworld 3, Fallout Shelter, FTL.
As I said, there's probably a few. I just can't think of the specific one I was thinking of.
Did you ever play Observation? That was very different than any of these
games. Did. I reviewed it. I really liked that game, actually.
Yeah, so did I. That team's doing a Silent Hill game, like the small indie Silent Hill game.
I know. And, you know.
I hope it's good.
I know it's an original game, so it's not like just a Silent Hill 2 remake, some people are making. So I'll be interested to see what they come up with. I feel like I would have been more interested in an original IP, but there we go.
You got to get their Silent Hill books.
Karuta Cowboy, member for 38 months in bonus content. That is a lot of months. And says, I know it's unrelated, but what day do you guys consider the end of the week? I always thought Sunday, but apparently a lot of people think Saturday.
No, Jesus. I thought it was Saturday. No, Sunday.
No,
Monday is the first day of the week.
Yeah. But then, you know, we have day jobs.
We have day jobs. Yeah, I think that a lot of that has to do with what is your schedule, since we generally work Monday through Friday.
Some people, in some cultures, Sunday is thought of as the first day of the week. That's what we're getting out of there, I assume.
No, Sunday's when I get all my shit done.
Mm.
It's a shit done day.
Sunday is a day for relaxing and putting your feet up.
Exactly.
Tsunami Dusha gives $10 and says, greetings, gentlemen. I haven't much to contribute to space games conversation other than liking the arcade on rail games of Star Fox 64 and X-Zodiac. However, Yahtzee already said those are sci-fi. Yes.
You know, don't let Yahtzee burst your space bubble. You call anything you want space.
I ruin everyone's fun like a cheeky little troll.
Star Fox is great. What's more of a space game, Star Fox or Metroid?
Probably Star Fox, in that you actually fly spaceships in it.
Yeah, in Metroid you pretty much just land on a planet. And you're like,
although you are in like power armor in Metroid, so you know, arguably they're both about piloting some kind of craft. But now we're getting very pedantic.
This is a mech. Yeah. It's just a mech.
Is it still a mech if it's human-sized and it's just like one-to-one proportions of your body?
Like, is Iron Man's costume a mech?
Exactly. That's the question. At what point does it become a mech? Like, is a Warhammer Space Marine a mech?
I just finished Mario Odyssey. When he throws his hat on something, does that become a mech?
Oh, let's not even get into this.
His spirit is controlling the mech of a Goomba.
I'm moving on now. That was a weird way to pronounce Goomba, incidentally.
Goomba.
Nick Knoll gives $10 and says, Shipbreaker was a masterclass on world building. I spent 20 minutes alone reading the EULA you had to sign at the start, condemning you to indentured servitude. Played like a great short story. You must have been apocalyptically bored, Nick Knoll.
That's really good the EULAs, they have goofs in the EULA?
I guess. Yeah.
Do you think there's anyone who reads every EULA that is like, I don't want the government to come for me?
Absolutely
so
not.
Has to be someone.
They probably all died out a long time ago.
Disease came for them.
Fungus Finder gives $2 and says, so if I like No Man's Sky, am I likely to like Starfield? I might recommend you just play some more No Man's Sky, Fungus Finder, if that's what you like. I mean, I guess if you like No Man's Sky and also equally like Skyrim, you might one might recommend Starfield.
Also, if you have Game Pass, and I don't know if you do, it's going to be free on Game Pass starting tomorrow. It's going to be a part of Game Pass, so it's an easy... Starfield is, so it's going to be... I feel like it's an easy try if you have that.
Humane Shield, whose misspelled username always kind of throws me off, gives $9.99. And says, I felt Chris Roberts' space game Freelancer from the 2000 had a decent balance of space travel, combat, and commerce mechanics that made the game memorable. Yes, a lot of people had nostalgia for Chris Roberts' old games, didn't they? Yeah. And all of those people are now continually allowing Star Citizen to drain their bank accounts, it seems.
They're now funding, they're officially funding a Ponzi scheme. It's probably real, right? Star Citizen's real. Do you think you'll ever review Star Citizen? Do you think in your career this game will ever come out?
Well, never say never. Sure. I mean, I kind of assumed at one point Duke Nukem Forever would never come out, and I was proved wrong on that.
Yeah, it probably would have been better off.
But if it's going to happen, it's going to happen much in the way Duke Nukem Forever came out, because the company, like, shut down, and some other company was given the build and had to sort of hastily smash together what they had to produce a commercial product.
Yeah.
And if the plebs keep giving money to Star Citizen, that's not likely to happen anytime soon.
But Chris Roberts might be the person most associated with space games, right? With his Wing Commanders and his Starlancer and his Freelancer.
I always think of David Braben, the creator of Elite, because he's making shit like Planet Zoo these days.
Yeah. Nick, I think we bullied Nick into finally downloading Star Citizen. Because Nick always says, no, it's real. And I'm always like, it's fake. And so Nick's finally going to download it. Good.
How much of it is available to download at this point?
I think it's like a big... I don't know. I know people who've played like 100 hours of it. So like... It has a very messy Wikipedia page.
Is it a playable game at this point?
I don't know. Nick's going to do journalism.
Is there a storyline? Is there a reason to
do anything
in it?
Mark Hamill in it? Or is Mark Hamill in the other one? Squadron 42, which is also not out?
I know.
Squadron 42 is like the single the player story-based game set in that same universe.
Well, I guess Chris Roberts might have already known him because Mark Hamill, of course, was in one of the FMV Wing Commander games.
That's right. The cast of Squadron 42 includes Gary Oldman, Mark Hamill, Gillian Anderson, Mark Strong, Andy Serkis, John Rhys-Davies, John Huston... Henry Cavill, Ben Mendelsohn. What is going on with this game?
Funny, it's almost as if that game production has money to burn.
It has Eric from Tim and Eric. What is this game? This cannot be a real game. Nick, you gotta get out of this one.
Isn't Gillian Anderson great though?
He is. I'm rewatching the X-Files now, and she is just fucking perfect. And she's also she's perfect now. She was perfect then. Oh my god.
Very few woman actors in Hollywood successfully transition from a sex symbol to mature lady acting.
And she's just great. Her and Meryl Streep. Both
like,
great.
If you told me in like the 90s that one day Gillian Anderson would play Margaret Thatcher,
yeah,
I would have slapped you.
out of sheer anger.
Yeah.
She's great.
Humane Shield gives $9.99 and says, look, we're traveling faster than the speed of light. That means by the time we see something, we've already passed through it. Even with an IQ of 6,000, it's still brown trousers time. And that's a quote from Red Dwarf, which Humane Shield may be trying to manipulate my favor.
And it's working, because you're the world's number one Red Dwarf fan. Apparently. The number one Red Dwarf fan in my life, because you're the only person who brings it up.
Oh, okay. I mean,
so congrats.
I haven't really watched. I actually haven't watched the latest season, and I've only watched like the one that came before that, like once. So there's probably much bigger Red Dwarf fans than I in the world now.
Not that I know, though. Not that I interact with on a weekly.
You want to ask?
I also had no idea they're still making this fucking show.
If you have questions about season 3, 4, 5, or 6, or 1 or 2, then I will talk your ear off all day.
I mean, you knew that quote. I thought Humane Shield was just spouting nonsense.
No, that quote was from Season 1, Episode 2, Future Echoes.
And you're trying to say you're not the biggest Red Dwarf fan I know. God okay, damn. Fine. I don't even know what a Red Dwarf is. Is that like a star that's dying?
Well, that's what a Red Dwarf is in the world of astronomy, yes. But Red yeah. Dwarf is also the title of a British science fiction sitcom that first aired in the late 80s and has continued to this day.
Yeah, well, fun fact.
The
Did you make a game where instead of guessing what game the screenshot's from, you need to guess what episode of Red Dwarf the screenshot's from.
I could almost certainly do very well with that, yes, unless it's like Season 8 onwards.
We would never use Season 8.
The Dogmatic Director, member for 16 months in bonus content, says, my favourite thing about Starfield is how helium makes me over-encumbered. Well, when you pick up...
I mean, it's a helium container, right?
Well, if whenever you pick up a resource in Starfield, your character has always somehow acquired some kind of jar to put it in. Yeah, it's almost always like in some kind of like powdered form.
Like if you like rent out a helium tank for like balloons.
Yeah, that doesn't weigh nothing. That's a heavy thing.
Did you have any over? I don't want to step on the shoes of your review. Do you bring up encumbrance?
Sort of tangentially, more related to the crafting in the game.
Gotcha. I've seen a lot of people. There's been a lot of discussion about encumbrance, and it's like,
well I was probably less bothered by the encumbrance because I took one look at the crafting and said, I am absolutely not doing any of this.
I am not engaging with this mechanic.
Yeah, because it's like you go to like an upgrade station and it's like, hey, you want this upgrade? Here's three very obscure things. So I'm like, what? So I'm just supposed to pick up every piece of garbage I find that says this is a crafting item, keep it for later. Because that's literally everything. Every like random test tube holder on every random shelf says this is a crafting item to be used somewhere.
There's a lot of things in games to where I just find a mechanic and I'm like, I'm just not going to engage with this. I'm going to make my way through the game. Maybe my life will be harder, but I'm just not going to do this thing.
I was feeling that way. I was feeling that way when I was playing Lies of P the other day.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say that. That's embargo busting.
Hey, demo's been out for ages, so I can talk about the mechanic where you can like upgrade the blade and the hilt of your weapon and you like can. Mix and match to create whole new weapons with different abilities.
Did it do what Zelda didn't? Did it allow you to put something dumb on the end of a weapon?
Not really. Oh. But it's got this whole thing where you can expend an item to modify the stat leveling of a specific hilt, and I was like, I'm probably not going to bother with this very much.
Yep. No, I will respectfully decline this mechanic. I feel that way about grenade launchers in Resident Evil games. I just played through Resident Evil Zero, and there was a grenade launcher with like three different types of ammo. I'm like, I don't have enough inventory to deal with this shit. I'm just never using a grenade launcher. I'm just going to stick with a shotgun. It's very simple. I understand what's going on here.
Yeah.
I don't have time for grenade launchers.
I felt that way about System Shock 2 for a while, but then in my latest like run through, I decided to focus on being like someone who diversifies across all the standard weapons, so I could have a pistol and a shotgun and an assault rifle and a grenade launcher.
There you go.
And you can get through the game pretty easily with all of those, and just like kicking exotic weapons in the head completely. Edge Hayorth 87 gives 50 Danish kroner and says, best space game in my opinion was Homeworld. They did all three axes in space combat in 1998 and had most sad and beautiful moment with the song Adagio for Strings. Okay, never played it.
Homeworld's a beloved game. Relic? That was an old Relic game.
Oh,
I've never played it. Yeah. I know Homeworld 3 is coming out. I believe Gearbox is publishing it.
Huh.
That's all I know about.
Well, there you go. Alex James, member for 13 months in early access, says, want a comment? Thoughts on Star Wars Outlaws?
Oh, that was Alex James who you shamed at the beginning for joining, for upgrading the membership and then not leaving a comment.
Well, how is he a member for 13 months now? Oh, he upgraded.
I think it was just like renewed. Yeah.
I haven't seen Star Wars Outlaws and don't care.
It looks very great. I am so excited.
There is very little that will make me give a shit about anything Star Wars related for a very long. I wish it would just go away for a while. That's how you get people nostalgic for something, is that you have it go away for a while.
That is true. But it went away for a while, and then it came back, and we got the J.J. Abrams movie.
Yes, well.
Star Wars Outlaws looks
great. Well, it worked well, didn't it? So maybe you should try that again. Just piss off. Piss off for 20 years, and then do your fucking sequel trilogy.
No, Star Wars Outlaws is a Ubisoft game. Ubiquitous Soft.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell, because there's so much random Star Wars series now.
There's a lot of Star Wars.
I will have thoughts on Star Wars Outlaws after I have played it and not before. Piss off.
Grand Theft Auto in space? Sign Yahtzee up.
Yeah. Kamja Ninja gives $5 and says, I think space needs mystery. A sense of some greater unknown out there we've yet to see. Whether we ever actually get to see it in game is irrelevant.
I think that's a good point.
Quite.
As I say,
it's the final frontier.
Yeah.
People mapped the whole world, and now the whole world is boring. And space will presumably get boring once it's been mapped. But before it's been mapped, there might be dragons.
Yeah.
There might be a gigantic space kraken around.
Oh, no, not a space kraken. Get that space kraken out of here. I think Outer Wilds does that very well. And it sounds like Starfield does it very well as it goes on.
Maybe. It does the old, you know, ooh, secret precursor alien race. Ooh, the mysteries of the galaxy.
Love me a precursor. Not a post-cursor, though. Get these post-cursors out of here.
You might have noticed an absence of Toffee, because while we were away for the Labor Day weekend, he was staying in his favorite kennel place.
Does he have a good time when he goes there?
Well, we like to think so.
Yeah.
And they always make sure to give him a bath.
That's nice.
When we pick him up, so presumably he gets into some scrapes.
Yeah. Some scrapes.
See, we take him to the in-laws' cabin, but he has a history of pissing everywhere.
That's bad. You can't do that in a cabin. I know firsthand, if you go to someone's cabin, you just can't be pissing there.
Anyway, Nicholas JM gives $10 and says, I do like it when the co-op gameplay can be supportive or antagonistic, where you can mess with each other even if it doesn't help. Lego games are good for that, surprisingly. Love you both.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, sure. Co-op games are about having to work together in unison and also being able to sort of fuck with each other.
Yeah, I think that came up in It Takes Two a fair bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, having like little playful systems where you're not necessarily like really impeding the other person's progress, but like Mario has some of those co-op Mario games, you like pick up a character and kind of just throw them
to piss them about.
Yeah.
Which is annoying if you've got a shared lives pool, as
that could be
the
annoying
case
then.
In
yeah.
Super Mario 3D World.
Yeah, that could be very annoying.
But anyway. Meisterkleister Heist AR gives €2, says FTL is my number one space game, but I also didn't play many.
A lot of people love that FTL.
Yeah, it's pretty good and pretty unique as space games go. Because as I say, it's almost zero focus on traversal through space.
Did you play Subset's game after that, Into the Breach?
I'm aware of it. I did try it. But, as much as I like FTL and I respect that developer, I just couldn't get into that.
Sure.
It's not the kind of game I like. Sorry.
It should be, that game, Into the Breach, came out like 5 or 6 years ago, so I feel like whatever they're doing next should probably be on the docket. FTL came out 10 years ago next week.
Oh, blimey.
No, that, I don't know math. I don't know math. I fucked up math. 11 years ago.
Okay, then.
I don't know math at all.
Would have been
11 years ago is still a long time.
Guess we should have marked it last year then, but we didn't.
Mazel tov.
Tsunami Dusha gives $10 and says, off topic, last week I mentioned to Marty a game called Rabbit X Labyrinth. It is indeed a puzzle platformer. More importantly, enjoy another $10. Okay. Thank you.
I still have the Rabbit X Labyrinth window open, tab open.
There you go. Kyle Pina gives $10 and says, Starfield is an anagram of deli farts. And like deli meat, it looks good, gets old, and can't be returned. Well, I'm glad someone found a way to make fun of the title without making a Garfield reference, Kyle Pina.
the Garfield references are very good. Also, yeah. Deli Farth is very funny.
I'm annoyed because I did a Garfield joke in my ZP, and then there was like 9 different Garfield jokes on Twitter since I wrote it.
They're still very funny. I don't think there's like a limit to the amount of Garfield jokes one can make.
Humane Shield gives $9.99 and says, Red Dwarf is about the wacky adventure of its cast as they travel through the galactic graveyard of humanity, but you got to laugh. The series after 8 are just as good as those in series 7. I note you're not trying to say that they're just as good as seasons 1-6, Humane Shield. Series 7 was actually where it started going downhill. So you're not really selling the most recent seasons at this point.
But it's not a downward spiral. It's just a solid step below. So there you go.
Well, there you go. I mean, sure. There are franchises in worse shape at this point, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that was the last Super Chat.
Oh my gosh, we did it. Yeah, you all did very good. I'm very proud of you guys.
Well done. Thank you very much. Where are we? Sorry, I lost my train of thought for a second. I'm distracted by the thought of going to pick up Toffee at the kennel.
Oh, don't worry. We'll breeze through. What else? What do you got going on this week? I know Wednesday you have Sea of Stars going on.
Yeah,
for everyone.
It's a very star themed Wednesday because Sea of Stars is going out on YouTube publicly, and my Starfield review will go out for members. I have a feeling that's going to bring in some members.
Give us the dosh.
Yeah.
And then members can watch last week's extra punctuation, and it'll be available to everyone on Thursday, correct?
Yes. That is on the subject of the beginning of BioShock. I'm just really breaking down why I think it's so good.
It's a very good beginning.
Yeah, we had a whole podcast on the subject relatively
just a
recently.
Really good beginning.
On very good beginnings of games.
Heck yeah. And then the new Adventures Nigh went up to members as well this weekend.
Yes. And that will be available for everyone on Saturday. So it's a good. It's the week that's good for public members who aren't members, as opposed to the week that's good for.
I've noticed those oscillate. It'll be like a week where it's like, oh my god, members get Stuff of Legends and Extra Punctuation and Adventures Nigh and Design Delve. And then another week, it's like, you know what? Fucking cool it. Cool it, everybody. You got enough last week.
And then Dimitri gives $2 Canadian and says, no, this one is. And then Jim Matchett gives another $2 and says, nope, this one is. Keep it up,
oh,
lads.
Oh, my God. One up's the ship.
We're keeping the lights on here. So what else is coming out on The Escapist this week?
Today is Tuesday, not Monday. So Frost Nixon will be back at 3 p.m. Central, so about 90 minutes from now, going through Dark Souls 2. Nick is getting... Nick is deep into the back half of Dark Souls 2. So we're proud of Nick. Nick is doing very well.
Interesting the contrast between Dark Souls 1 and 2, because in Dark Souls 1, it's like fairly open, it's fairly linear at the start and becomes open after you have to go after the 4 Lord Souls. And in Dark Souls 2, it's really open at the start. You can go where you go after the 4 Lord Souls, and then it becomes linear.
And then you get railroaded. Yeah, it's funny how that works. That'll be then, and then tomorrow all the regular streams will be doing Breakout, Jesse Pirate Adventures, and then obviously the post CP on Sea of Stars. And then Thursday at noon we'll be launching our Zelda streaming series. Jesse will be playing Link to the Past for the first time.
Speaking of gaming blind spots, who the hell's never played a Zelda game?
Fidey
has the balls to show up to work.
That's you know what, and he's gonna love it, and if he doesn't love it, I'm going to be very sad.
Where are we starting him on? Because, you know, if you start with the very first Zelda, start with Link to the Past, okay.
Yeah, it's like it gets the point across of the first Zelda, but it's just a lot more polished and playable in modern days.
You start with Zelda 1 and Zelda 2, that's just going to make people confused, isn't it?
No, it's good. No, you're going to get to Zelda 2 and be like, I don't want to play these. I don't want to go any further. Check out that, and then all sorts of great stuff on the site. New episode of Out of Time on Lost Odyssey. I mentioned Design Delve with Stuff of Legends. Just check out all that great shit.
And then Patent Pike gives $2 and says, this one is. Oh, you know what I could stream for, like, our blind spot streams? I could do the Danganronpa games.
The Donkey Kong rom-coms.
Except
incredible.
I haven't really got time to put another stream in my weekly schedule, so maybe not.
You need to stop watching so much Red Dwarf. That's your problem.
apparently. Also, Danganronpa, visual novel, streaming visual novels.
Yeah, that was my whole thing about streaming Mass Effect. Like, isn't this a game I should probably be paying attention to?
Quite, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess your perfect stream game is stuff like Hi-Fi Rush or Spider-Man, where it's just fun to watch people traverse to places.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for watching, stroke listening to Slightly Something Else. Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Pat and Pike gives $2 and says, this what is, and then Bag of Decks, member for 16 months in early access, says, missed most of this stream. Diff Day messed me up.
Sorry, we're back to the normal schedule. This is not a regular thing. This was just because of the holiday. We'll be back on Monday.
We're back next Monday. It was a holiday. It was Labor Day.
Yeah. Which is in the UK as well, they said. Someone said. Everyone gets a little labor.
I don't know.
Or maybe it was just like a random ass bank holiday.
I thought Labor Day was just an American thing, because I was writing out Labor Day on my tweet this morning, and I was spelling it with a U, and that immediately didn't look right.
You're like, this doesn't work.
Yeah. If it was in England, I'd assume you were talking about the political party.
Oh, apparently there is a Labor Day in the UK. Oh, International Workers' Day. I don't know.
I don't think that's the same thing.
No.
Anyway, see y'all next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in.
Toffee will be back in my next stream, probably.
Yay. Bye.